Hi, Jenny. It's Francesca from INS Law. Are you okay?
Yeah, how are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. So
that's
is now a good time for you to talk, to go through the application, yeah?
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
So before we begin, I just need to get some details off you for data protection purposes. So would I be able to get your full name, please?
It's Jennifer Susan Ray.
And were you known by any different names before or during care at all?
No, just Jenny. Most people call me Jenny.
Okay, fab. And yeah, can I get your date of birth, please?
It's 10/7/1977.
And your current address?
That is 91 Kirkton Home Road, spelled K-I-R-K-T-O-N-H-O-L-M-E Road.
Yeah, and your postcode?
G741 Bravo Bravo.
2 seconds. Perfect. So just let you know as well, so all calls are recorded for training and quality purposes, okay?
Yep, that's fine.
And what is your preferred title?
Miss.
Fab. So in regards to contacting you, so it's usually via telephone, email, text, and obviously WhatsApp. Are those all okay with you?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
My phone had, I had a setting on it where numbers I don't know were just like they weren't coming through ringing to me.
That's perfect. And also, just to add another layer of protection, would I be able to get a password off you? So if anyone rings you regarding the redress scheme at all, if you ask them for the password and they can't provide it, then you know it's not us.
Okay.
Yeah. So what would you like?
Blue.
Blue, yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. So we've got on this call now, so I appreciate discussing experiences connected to this application can be difficult and upsetting. So please take your time during the call, and if you need a break at any point or any further explanation or support, just let me know, okay?
Okay, that's fine.
So the purpose of the call today, so I'll explain the Scottish Redress Scheme to you, go through your options, I'll explain how INS Law operates, discuss funding and fees, and then gather some information then to assess whether and how we can assist you. Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
So the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004. So it's important that you know all of your options before you decide whether to instruct us.
Okay.
So you can apply directly to the Redress Scheme by yourself without a solicitor. So they send you like an application pack that you fill out. Or you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fee Scheme. So these solicitors, they're paid directly by the government for assisting you with your application. So those solicitors can receive up to £2,000 plus the VAT for assisting you, regardless of whether you're successful or not with the application. So INS Law doesn't operate under that statutory scheme, so we don't claim any government-funded fees. So if you decide to instruct us, you'd be choosing private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement. So we're not paid by the government for assisting you.
So I would pay you?
So our agreement, so we operate on a no-win, no-fee basis. So if you're unsuccessful, you pay nothing. And if you withdraw your application on our advice, you pay nothing. So if you are successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees consist of basic charges based on the time spent and then a success fee. However, the total fees, they're capped at no more than 16% plus the VAT, so 19.2%. And you'll never pay more than that agreed cap.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep. So at this stage as well, would I just be able to double check whether you've instructed any of the solicitors to act for you in relation to the redress scheme at all?
I have not.
No, no problem. That's absolutely fine. So it's important I make clear as well, so we can't guarantee that your application will be successful or the level of award the scheme may award you. So the scheme operates on a discretionary basis. So I'll explain that in greater detail during the call as well.
Yep.
So if you decide to instruct us, we assist with your, so we go through your eligibility to apply to the scheme. We gather and review all the evidence. We prepare and submit the application. We do all the corresponding with the redress scheme, and then we can advise you on any offer made and assist with any reconsideration or review processes in the scheme as well. So if you're unhappy with the outcome, we can help you then with that.
We'll also
fully explain the statutory waiver to you before you decide whether to accept anything if an award is offered. So it's important because accepting an award may affect your ability to pursue future civil claims relating to the matters. So you're never expected to accept an offer without fully understanding the consequences.
Okay.
And so if you decide to proceed with us, you have a 14-day cancellation period after you sign the agreement. So you can cancel within that period for any reason without charge.
Okay.
And you can also authorise us to begin work immediately, so while your cancellation rights still remain. So would you be happy for us to do that?
Yes.
Yeah, fab. And one last thing, just so we're able to formally act for you, we'll require proof of your identity for verification purposes, so as to comply with anti-money laundering regulations. So we'll need a copy of photographic ID and then a proof of address dated within 3 months of today's date.
Okay.
So do you have any photographic ID?
Yeah, I've got a passport, but it's actually at my mum and dad's house now, and I've got driving licences here, but they're out of date.
Yeah, so that's okay. So if you don't have any photographic ID on you, so we can do 3 letters instead. So 3 letters that have been sent to you in the last 3 months, as long as it's got your full name, current address, and then the date included then in the picture. So anything sent to you after the 21st of May, it's absolutely fine.
Yep, I've got that, yeah.
Perfect. So I'll send you an email as well, and then I'll actually so you have it, of what we can accept. But with the letters, it's basically anything, as long as it's printed and it's got that information on it. And then you can send those to us on WhatsApp as well. So it's a bit easier.
Okay. Yep.
So just a few more questions and we'll move on to the care settings. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So have you received any relevant payments before? So any criminal injuries compensation, court settlements, advance payment schemes, anything like that? No?
Never, no.
Do you have any criminal convictions at all?
Yes, not for over 10 years now though, and it's been like breach of the peace, and it's all to do with my mental health, to be honest. I'm not like a major criminal. It's like,
that's okay. You don't sound that one. That's okay.
Yeah.
And so it's for if there's any relevant violent or sexual offences where you were in prison for over 5 years.
No.
Okay. And have you been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses at all?
No.
And regarding your application as well, so you're able to nominate a beneficiary. So if anything was to happen to you, we'd get in touch with them and they would take over. So would you like to add one?
Yes, I could add my mum and dad.
Yeah, so I'd need a full name, date of birth, an address, and then email or telephone number, if you have that available.
Okay.
Yeah, so would I be able to get a full name, please?
Okay, so it's Carol Andrea.
Is Carol Ann one word?
Yes.
Yeah, Carol Ann Ray. And then her date of birth?
It is the 15th of the 11th, 1955.
Perfect. And do you have an email address or a telephone number?
I've not got an email address on me, but I can give you a telephone number.
Yeah, that's fab. Thank you.
Hold on a wee second. So our number is 07763 474 112.
Perfect, thank you. And then just a address then, if you have it, please.
It's 2 MacDonald Avenue, Kittet Glen, Stuartfield, East Kilbride. And I can't remember the postcode, I'm afraid.
It's okay. Was it Stuartfield and then East?
East Kilbride, yeah, same as me.
So with the postcode, does G744SN sound familiar?
Yes, it does, yeah.
So moving on to your care settings now. So would you be able to let me know the name of the places, or if it was foster care, where, with the time frame? So as much as you can recall, as long as we've got the estimate, that we should then be able to get the records. That's no problem.
So when I was expelled from school, that was like when I was 15. And shortly after then, I was put in a homeless hostel, which is since, it's just recently been demolished. It was Lindsay House in East Kilbride. Then
what
was
it called, sorry?
Lindsay House. Lindsay House, East Kilbride. Then I got chucked out of there for not paying rent. I didn't know I was, like, I didn't know anything about any of that at that age. And then I got sectioned. The day I got evicted from there and taken to the police station, and then I was put in Wooddean Children's Home in Blantyre.
Wooddean?
Wooddean, and that's been demolished as well.
Okay, so... would I just be able to confirm the spelling of the homeless shelter that you were in for me?
Lindsay House, L-Y-N-D-S-A-Y, maybe. I'm struggling.
That's okay. So Lindsay has... right.
And that was social work that put me in there. See, now thinking about it, I just think that's absolutely crazy. Like, it was all older, much older people than me in it. And they were all like on drugs and heavy alcohol addictions and things like that. And I was like, I wasn't even mature at that age. I was so like shy and stuff. Like, I didn't, it was mental.
Yeah. So, what we do is we'll get all the details of the care settings, and then we'll take then some statements about your time in each one, okay?
Yeah, okay.
So, you said you were 15 when you were placed there, yeah? So, 1992, roughly?
Yeah. This is what I'm struggling with. Is that what you, the age you think I would have been in 1992 then?
Roughly, yeah. So as long as we've got the estimate, it's okay.
Because in my mind, like, I left school in 1994, so I've been telling, which could totally be wrong, but I've been telling myself when I get put in care, it was from 94 to 96 probably.
Yeah. Is what we'll do is we'll put 1993 and go in the middle.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
And that was in East Kilbride.
Yeah.
Okay. And then after that one, then you were placed into
Wooddean Children's Home, W-O-O-D-E-A-N.
And is that in Bothwell? Is that right?
Blantyre, that's in.
Blantyre. It's on 29 Blantyre Mill Road, if that rings. I'm not too sure.
It was on Farm Road, yeah.
And how, when were you there? So, would it be 1995, do you think, or four?
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I've got records here. I got them through the data access request.
Yeah.
I've just not had a proper look yet. I keep meaning to do it as well and, like, highlight all the bits that will be relevant for you.
That's okay. So that's what we, so we'll contact. So if you like, you can send those over, so you can scan them and take photos to send them over. Or if not, that's what we'll do anyway. So we'll contact all the relevant councils and get the records anyway. But it's
I know,
completely your choice.
I think maybe you'd be better doing it legally because
Yeah.
they've redacted so much information, like there's black lines through so much,
Yeah,
but
they
I
hide a
can go
lot.
through it. Oh, they definitely do. And they didn't even know me, like the council knows me all these years because I've had a council property, but
Yeah.
they were just like, when were you in care? No, we don't have any record of this. Like, I've got emails going back and forth from whoever it was that was trying to find me and get those records to me, but it
Yeah.
definitely seems shady the way, and it's barely legible because a lot of it was written in those days, you know. Well, it was all written.
Yeah. No, and everything should be there, should all be scanned, but a lot of them, they say they've gone missing or they've destroyed, or they always find a reason.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, at
So
least you know I've
after,
got backup here.
yeah, fab, thank you. So then
Yeah.
after Woodden, then were you anywhere else then after that?
Yeah, then that place was due to be demolished, so everyone in there was getting sent places, and they were talking about me going to a secure unit, and I
Yeah.
kicked up about it because I was like, I'm an adult. I've been getting jobs. Like, in these records, they're saying, like, they got me jobs and things. They never
Yeah.
gave me clothes or anything or any type of money at all.
No.
So then the decision was made to send me over to, I called it Church Street. That's what it was known to me as, but they're calling it Flemington House. And it's in the records as Flemington House. And that's also just been demolished as well. Like, everywhere I've been, it's been demolished.
Yeah.
And
Okay.
then I've read some of this paperwork and see the way they're just trying to put me out the door, the closer I get to the age of 18. Like,
Yeah.
it's shocking the way it's written. Like, there's no support. I've had no mental health checks, no doctors. I
No
tried
afterthought, is there?
kill myself, and all they blamed me on trying to kill myself. Like, oh, it's 'cause she was drinking, and
No.
they've got a doctor to come out. I've still got the scar. Stitched me up within that home, and no hospital, nothing like
Yeah.
that. It's just total neglect. And the things I saw, oh my God, are terrible.
Yeah, we'll get into all that now.
Yeah, right.
So just a couple more questions and then we'll move on to the statements. But is it just
Yeah.
the 3K settings or was there any more?
No, that's it.
No, just the three fab. Okay. So would I be able to get the name of your mother and father, if that's okay?
Yep,
So
it's Caroline Ray
right.
and James Ray.
James Ray. And then, do you recall the address that you were in prior to being placed into the care system?
2 McDonald Avenue, the one I've
So it would have
given
been
you.
that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And would I be able to get the name of the GP surgery you're currently registered with?
Yes, that's Hunter Health Centre, and it's the Kittock practice within Hunter Health Centre.
So, going on now to the statements of each care setting. So, beginning with the, this is the Lindsay House or Lindsay House.
Lindsay
So,
House, yes.
you said so you were expelled from school at 15.
Yeah. I was in fourth year.
And then, regarding, so you were living with your parents and then you got expelled from school. So then, did they put you into care with of social
Well,
services or did they
what
take you
happened
out?
was, they tried to get me help through social work when I was, well, they've always tried, but when I was 15, So I had social workers like coming and just dropping in, you know, they take you from McDonald's and stuff like that. And then my mum to this day, she says it's the worst thing she did was contact social work because there was no help whatsoever. It just got taken out of their hands by that point. They were going like a family holiday and they didn't want to leave me in the house. And that's how they've said that to them, and that's how I was put in the homeless hostel.
So they went on holiday?
Yeah, I know, it sounds terrible.
And they took you out?
Yeah.
And put you, they found out, and then...
They didn't chuck me out. They asked social work for help because they didn't want me to stay at home, especially when they weren't there. So it's just all spiralled from that.
Okay.
And then my behaviour spiralled.
So, with that homeless shelter, so how were you treated there?
I was terrified. I went in and they kind of got some girl to befriend me, but she was like off to a rave the same day. So, she didn't come back and take me down to the dinner hall, and I was put straight into a room with a really creepy woman. There was like two beds in the room, and eventually, like after a while, I'd made friends with like other people who took me under their wings, so I was able to move in with another girl, Debbie Root. She was like just a bit older than me, like 5 years older than me, and she was like dead nice to me and stuff. I knew her my whole life. She just died a couple of years ago, actually. I did have older ones looking out for me, but they were all mad. They were all mad.
So you were surrounded by drugs and alcohol.
Yep. I didn't even know like about benefits. There was an office within the place and they said go up to the social security. So in East Kilbride, there used to be a social security office in the Murray. So I remember I was up there myself just looking at all this paperwork, not knowing a thing what to do. And one of the guys, the older ones from Lindsay House, he came in and he just literally flew through the form ticking boxes for me about what I was meant to get.
Okay. And then, so they kicked you out?
They kicked me out for behaviour or not paying rent or something, and then I was taken straight to the police station. My mum came to the police station. They put her in a cell with me to try and speak to me, and it was from there the decision was made, like, because I've got a younger brother and sister. There's 9 years between me and my brother and six between me and my sister, so my mum just didn't want them seeing any behaviour kind of things like that. And I thought, like, I could just kind of stay out because we moved area. I stayed in Waterfoot when I started high school. And then they moved back to East Kilbride. I was born in East Kilbride. But, like, the thought of changing high school was terrifying to me. So I kept staying. I went to Mearns Castle High School. And I just continued that. Like, it was a bit of a nightmare for them because, like, just trying to get me to get to school because it was such a journey by that point.
Yeah. So then, following that, then you were placed into that Wood Dean.
Yeah. And they put me, I didn't know I was on a section, like they sectioned me. It was a 21 day thing. And the first day, like when I landed there, a girl from the home, Leanne, she said, come on down to the train station with me to pick up, like just go and meet the girl I was sharing a room with. And when I got back in, I got absolutely berated off this Robert Davies. He's like a bodybuilder guy. He's meant to be like a key worker. He's like, you're not even allowed out of here and all this. And he terrified the life out of me.
So was that on the first day that this girl asked you?
That was the first day, yeah.
Okay. She asked you to go to this train station with her.
That's just at the bottom of Farm Road where the home was. So it was literally like 5 minutes walk down to the train station in Blantyre.
She said one of the staff members just screamed at you for doing it.
Yeah.
What do you say? You weren't even meant to like leave your room or something?
Not allowed to leave the whole building is what I gathered from it. Also, something that is kind of horrifying, I was assigned, like, I had a few key workers, but I was assigned a key worker called Linda Morton, who was a resident in East Kilbride. I don't know if she is anymore, but she ended up like taking us out into town, me and this other girl from East Kilbride, and she would invite us back to her house and stuff. She was getting us drinking and stuff like that. Like, she was so nice, though, you know, but now looking back, I'm like, that just should not have happened.
No. No,
I think she got sacked, but like because of this, maybe my parents said something. Like, so I can't really talk. I can't talk to my parents about this anymore. Like, I kept bringing it up for years, and then literally they're like, "Please, gonna just not talk to us about the home anymore."
Yeah. So she would take you out and stuff, and then take you back to her house and like encourage you to drink and all things like that.
Oh, she used to take us to the pub, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a photo somewhere of her, somewhere, the two of us in one of the booths in Central Station. And also I've got photos of, I don't know why they thought doing a photo shoot in the home was like a nice idea, because it's just disturbing, but I've got like photos in the home, and like the staff are in the photos smoking all over us and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, in regards to forms of abuse, obviously there was emotional, mental, obviously you kind of neglected. Was there any physical or verbal?
Yeah, I was restrained multiple times, like just coming home and trying to go into my own bedroom that I shared. And then this Robert Davies, he would just pin you to the floor. Like, I don't know why. And there was like flirting going on with the staff and everything. It's just, it wasn't a professional environment at all.
So the staff got like, with you?
Not with me, sorry, no. I mean like other workers.
Yeah. So in regards to the physical, so was it just constant restraining?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was there any verbal?
There was definitely, like, seeing the first day that I was there, like,
yeah,
I knew it was, like, a tough environment they were going to put me in. And as I say, like, I'm not the person I am now. I could have handled it. But Robert Davies, the man I keep mentioning, there was this boy, Derek McCulloch, who was in like the same as me. He was East Kilbride, and he was already a resident there, and he was just like he took him under his wing, thinking I don't know what Robert's background was, if it was army or something like that, but he deliberately like just tried to make me feel awful about, like, I had a face full of acne, and he was like, what do you like about yourself? Like, you know how people say, can you pick one thing you like about yourself? It's like a psychological thing, but it was just definitely meant nasty. And I just felt so uncomfortable. I always felt so uncomfortable. It wasn't a loving environment in any way from any of the staff, or a caring environment, and the notes literally prove that. And I think I put this in my message about two really young kids that were in this home with all these teenagers with all these challenging needs and issues. And this guy, George Gallagher, he's in jail. He's been in jail for about 20-odd years for stabbing somebody in Lark Hall. He was stealing their tiny swimming costumes and underwear and everything, and he was stashing it like under his bed. And his room was shared with a guy called Gary. I can't remember his second name.
So was this staff or just another boy who was there?
This was another boy that was there. And we used to tell the staff, and they'd done nothing about it. And those, I just dread to think, because those wee kids remained in the home. He was doing that. Like, what else could have happened? You just don't know. And the staff are just useless. And in these notes, it said I'm from like a prestigious family as well. Like, I think that's like, why would you say that? And then people, they would tell, like, the staff would tell people in the home, like, I'm from, like, somewhere with money, basically. And and my parents should be paying money into this home. It's just wild. Like, the files in the office, like, people just used to go in and read people's files.
Yeah, it's just really inappropriate, isn't it?
Yes. What makes me so sad is that, because I can handle thinking about it now and not talking about it, but the fact it took me to, like I'm 49 now, I didn't get diagnosed with mental health officially. Like, they've got me down as adult ADHD with depression and anxiety, and that had been like, you're an adult when you're 16 anyway, and there was no help at all. And my mum's writing letters, you'll see my mum's letters where she's literally begging them for help, saying, have you missed something, is this not like some mental health and stuff like that, which it was. Like, I was the shyest wee kid. Like,
if I was born around that time, I'd probably be in the same situation.
Yeah. Like, I couldn't even get on a bus myself. I was like, everybody's looking at me.
Neither.
I couldn't eat in front of people, like, things like that. I was just ridiculously shy.
Yeah. No, I also have ADHD, so I understand it.
I hate the way people talk about it. You know, ADHD, like...
It's like a quirk, isn't it? It's like, oh, how funny. And it's not.
They don't know the half of it. It's so, debilitating, like, isn't it? Much to it. It is,
So, you previously mentioned as well, so there's something about people coming in and stitching up your arm and then not doing anything about it. Where was that?
That was in the Church Street home, which they're calling Flemington. I'll just call it Flemington because that must be what they're calling it.
So following with Dean, so why were you... You were taken from that one because it was being demolished, weren't you?
Yeah.
Okay, so regarding Flemington House now, so obviously by the sounds of it, it wasn't a nice place at all.
No, it was awful.
Yeah.
And then they put me in, there was like a downstairs flat they had made for independent living.
Yeah.
So I was put in there, and then it's in my notes as well, like I couldn't control my door and all this. And I'm like, what door are they talking about? Are they talking about my first flat I had? And then I'm like, I think they're talking about, and it just seems like a room in the children's home to me as well.
Yeah.
And then that's when they go into, oh, she needs to be put out at 18 and everything. We need to desperately just get her out of here.
Okay. And so there was regarding your time there, so so you said you were placed in a flat, so were you literally just left alone and just they were like, just sort yourself out?
Basically, this is that I think in their view it must have been like, right, this is you, this is us supporting you to get ready to move out when you're 18. And it wasn't like that to me at all. I was just, all the rooms were up the stairs and I was in this room down the stairs basically. And like some people would obviously come in because I had more maybe privacy than them. And I'm talking like just other residents. It's all in the same building. And like the staff office was down the stairs.
Yeah.
Things like that.
So, regarding the forms of abuse, that's obviously you were neglected and you just obviously just left alone. So, was there any verbal or physical here?
I probably was verbal.
Yeah.
I would have been cheeky with them because I just didn't know how to channel my emotions and things.
Yeah.
But anybody will tell you, like even back then, I'm the nicest. Like I come across like that. You treat people how you want to be treated.
Yeah.
I am nice. I'm not saying there wasn't moments that I lashed out, but it was out of total frustration at my life, like, and being away from my family. Like, I just thought about my family all the time, and I had access to my family. Like, I would visit them. Like, after things got better, I would be visiting them every Sunday, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so regarding the incident, so where the was it? I'm assuming like the medics came out and stuff, and then they just that was it.
No, it was like this man. It was like this man with like a leather briefcase. Like he was not dressed as a medic in any way. This was like some doctor from a local GP. I'm assuming he just came out. He wasn't even nice to me. And I was asleep when they found me. Like, I was asleep. My arm was, I could have bled to death.
Yeah.
They came out, oh, you're so stupid. The staff are telling me I'm so stupid. This is because I've been drinking. And then this doctor's came out. I've still got it. It's such a bad scar. He stitched it up in a terrible way. And then no further action. There was nothing. No support at all. I was blamed.
Yeah.
Oh, and also, there was a man, Stan, that used to work in the home. He's and with Dean, he's literally been on Panorama. They did a documentary about him. I don't think I've seen it. It was another care kid that told me about it.
Okay. And then you obviously, you reached then the age of 18 and you were just like kicked out pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I lasted month, maybe not even that, in a flat just across from Hampden Football Stadium in Somerville Drive. And then after I got chucked out of there, I got put in another hostel. Well, it was a bed and breakfast at the top of Renfrew Street in Glasgow. And then my dad was just like, she's not staying there. It was really sketchy area. Like, I was getting propositioned and stuff off men. So I was back home for about a week or something. And then I get put out, and then I ended up going out with a 28-year-old, which I, like, see now, I just think that's so sick how he could have went out with me when I was that age.
Yeah.
Although I did stay with him, because it was the only security I had. So I was with him for about 6 years, and then I started, my brain started developing more. I started working in the Garden Hall and pub. I was there for about 3 years, and I've been in and out of, like, factory work in Barber. And then I did the HNC social care past that, and I've got an honours degree in criminal justice.
Okay.
And also, well, the social work will probably take this. They'll be like, oh, yeah, that's because of
that's
us.
No.
Nothing to do with them. Nothing to do with them.
No, it's no thanks to you guys, anyway.
I know.
Right, okay. So, what I've done now, so I've written up statements regarding each of the care settings that you've spoken about.
Yeah.
So, the next thing now is to cover. So, regarding these statements, so these are just the initial statements that are on the application that get sent to redress. Just the initial one to get you accepted. We get an application number, and then we can gather all your records. Further down the line, then, we'll be in touch to book in a witness statement with yourself. So it'll be similar to this, but with just more direct questions, a bit more detail, a bit about before, after, and all things like that. So if there's any part of it that you feel like you missed out, anything you remember, some people find it helpful. Some people find it helpful just to write down some notes. So then when it comes to the witness statement, you've got it there.
Yeah.
It's whatever works best for you. But the next step now is just to go through the types of applications that we can pursue. So there's two types. So there's the fixed payment of £10,000, and it's a fixed amount award regardless of the severity of the issue suffered. Or there's the individually assessed payment of up to £100,000, which is decided by a closed panel dependent on the level you suffered. So based on previous awards made by the scheme, I'd like to pursue the individually assessed payment for you. Is that okay? So you won't be required to attend any meetings with the scheme in person or anything like that. So we'll provide the witness statement on your behalf to the scheme to tell your story, okay? So it'll just be this and then the witness statement further down the line. So following up, based on everything you've provided, so the next step is for me to send over the documents for you to sign. So if you're happy to proceed, you're under no pressure or obligation. If you'd like, I can send those over to you now.
If you could do it.
So I'll send those over to you now, and then just confirm then if you receive them and the link works, and then I can just talk you through it then, just to explain briefly how it works, because it can just be a bit fiddly. So there we go. So I've just sent it now, so it should come by email and text message. Let me know, and if it doesn't come through, I can send it to you on WhatsApp as well, if that's easier.
I've got it here.
So,
just click this link, did you
see? So if you click on that link there, and then it should then open up all the contracts. So it'll contain a client care letter, a conditional fee agreement, and a letter of authority, which is all the information I've shared with you, along with the letter of authority, so we can access records. And then there'll be a part one and a part two. So that'll contain all the information that you've shared with myself. And then at the very bottom then is the statement sections. So on the screen, so there's a, it should be like a yellow box that says fields required.
Four fields required,
So if you click on that, it should take you then to each page that needs a signature. So you'll have like a tap to sign box that you just click in. You can either type it or draw it and then click apply, whatever's easiest.
My phone's hold
on. Okay.
I'll type it because it never works when I try and do these things.
Yeah. I've also got like sausage fingers, so my signature always looks horrendous when I do things like that.
It's not letting me, wait, it's letting me type it here. Jennifer. Oh, that seems that I've done it right. Apply.
If you click on that field required again, it'll take you then to the next one.
Scrolling, is it? I can't. Wait a minute. It's not loading the next 2 seconds.
That's okay.
Ah, I found another bit. Right, type. I need new glasses. I'm going blind.
I know, I got given mine about 3 years ago and I still don't use them. I'm horrendous for it.
I need them now.
I lose yeah, them, I fit on them all sorts.
Yeah, I know. Right, I've got 2 bits left. I'm just waiting on it loading again. Plug my phone in, I think it's because it's running out of battery. Signed on behalf of INS Law, is that a bit I need to sign?
No, so is if it takes you to the...
Oh, found it, sorry. I think I plug it in there. Right, I'm on the third one anyway. Right. Right, apply. One left. Here we go. Right, type. Jeffrey, apply. Right, so where's the...
There we go. And then, if you scroll all the way down to the very, very bottom, so it, like, stops scrolling, and then there's a little tick box then that says, I verify my signature is authentic or something along those lines.
There we go.
Yeah, and then you should be able to press the submit signature box then.
I think that's me done it. Can you tell it, your end?
So then they should just come through straight to us then. So I'll have a look.
It says it was submitted.
Yeah, and then it'll come up with a page that says verifying all that kind of... Yeah, fab. They've come through. That's perfect. So the only thing now is just the proof of address letters. So just 3 letters that have been sent to you since 21st of May. And as long as the name, date, and address is in the photo, that's absolutely fine. So you can send those on WhatsApp.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, that's fab. Thank you very much. So that's everything for today. So I'll get your application sent over to Redress now following this phone call. But do you have any questions for me at all?
No, you've been great and so easy to talk to, honestly, Francesca.
Thank you.
I honestly know you. I was just going to say, like, my mum and dad aren't about to start getting all these emails and, like, phone calls, just, you know, the way some systems work.
Oh, no. So we'll only contact them pretty much. So if anything happens and someone reaches out or if we don't get a hold of you for quite some time, then we might then. But, no, there's no automated anything that gets sent to them. That's okay. They might be one from Redress further down the line just to confirm that they're happy to be the beneficiary. But other than that, no, you did that. That'll be okay.
Okay, I'll give them the heads up about that.
Thank you so much.
I'll send you these letters just now, and then tomorrow I'll probably get my passport because I need it for something else anyway.
Yeah.
So I'll just send you a copy of that as well.
Oh, that's fab. Thank you very much. So what I'll do now is I'll send this to Redress, and then I will update you then when we get an application number from them, and we'll keep in the loop as much as possible. But if you have any questions at all, just give us a call or WhatsApp me, wherever it's easiest for you, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much. Thanks for talking to me.
That's okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.